You're watching Press TV live coverage. Leader of Hezbollah, Hassan Nasrallah, speaking on Al-Quds Day.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God, the Merciful. Peace be upon Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad. Peace be upon all of his family. Peace be upon all prophets. Peace be upon the Prophet Muhammad once again. Peace be upon the family, the members of the family of the Prophet. Peace be upon all of his friends and colleagues. Peace be upon all prophets, all those present, those who are watching, my brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be upon you all. Allah says in His holy book, when He speaks about the Pharaoh and Israel, of course, He spoke about the drowning of the Pharaoh. They tried to provoke them, and then we drowned them, those and all those who were with him, with the Pharaoh. And then we told those of Israel, the people of Israel, live in the earth. This is after the Pharaoh, of course. We told the people of Israel, live in the earth. And if the promise of the aftermath comes, the truth will unfold. What he means here by the aftermath, not the day of judgment, but the second promise of Israel in this earth. Now in the first part of the verses of the Isra in the Quran, it says, if the promise of the aftermath comes, the promise of the aftermath will have its bad effect on you. And of course, at this time, all must enter the mosque. This is what was said in the Holy Book, and thank God that this generation now, this generation of Muslims, is looking with his own eyes at the existence of the Zionists. The people of this generation are witnessing, of course, the suffering of the Zionists on the hands of the resistance fighters in Palestine and in Lebanon. My dear brothers and sisters, after 30 years of the announcement of the Imam Khomeini, peace be upon his soul, after he announced Quds Day, this day is still alive, and is alive very well, even in a very clear way. It always has the support. This day always had the support of those generations who supported the Imam, who are continuing the direction of Imam Khomeini. And here I'm referring to Imam Khamenei. May God keep him with us. And with the commitment and the faith of the Arab and Islamic world and the Arab Islamic people, the faith in Al-Quds and in Palestine and in the people of Palestine, by this faith, this day, Al-Quds Day, from the very beginning of the announcement by Imam Khomeini, this day always targeted and aimed to underscore a number of meanings. These meanings which we always speak about, which are always clarified year by year, meanings of the different issues which become clearer and clearer with each year passing by, with our experience increasing. Each time we discover more places of struggle, we get to know the real meaning of Al-Quds Day. And tonight, first of all, I'll try to focus on some of these meanings. The main goal of Al-Quds was, and still is, to, of course, reinvigorate this issue, the cause of Al-Quds and the cause of Palestine, the cause of Al-Quds, which was and still is subject to destruction, subject to bargaining, subject to forgetfulness. And many, of course, believe Al-Quds Day, Al-Quds, is a cause which could maybe lead to some bad effects, some negative repercussions, but Al-Quds cause is a central cause which concerns the whole Ummah, which concerns the destiny of the whole Islamic world, the destiny of the religion of this world, the destiny of the upcoming generations. The occasion is an occasion to invigorate this occasion and not just to stand on the podiums and to cry because of a Nakba or to cry because of certain losses here or there. This day, of course, to celebrate this day, you celebrate it in the mind, in the soul, in the heart. In this way, we underscore our determination. Al-Quds Day also assures the Muslims, specifically assures them in the holy month of Ramadan, which is the month of worship, in the last Friday of this month of worship. This, of course, in light, in the midst of the prayer and the fasting and the worship of Allah, in the midst of all this, in the midst of backing down, of course, abstaining from the worldly issues and focusing on the aftermath. This, of course, stresses on many important issues. The first issue is that this Islamic world must feel the humiliation which has been done during the last few decades, the humiliation of the Islamic world when its holy sites, its sanctities were occupied in the hands of the enemies. So we must look at the occupation of Al-Quds and the occupation of the sanctities of the Muslims and the Christians. These sanctities are being occupied by racist Zionists. And this is the biggest humiliation to the whole Ummah, to the whole world in the last century, and this humiliation is still continuing because the occupation still continues. And there is another message. We stress on the responsibility of the whole Ummah, the whole nation, the religious, historic, legitimate responsibility. In the midst of the fasting and the prayer, we have a responsibility towards Al-Quds, towards Palestine. We have a responsibility towards the people of Palestine. Also, one of the most important issues concerning Al-Quds Day is that Al-Quds and Palestine, from the sea to the river, is the possession of the Palestinian people, possession of the Arabs, the possession belongs to the Muslims, and nobody at all has the right to abandon any inch of territory, to abandon any rock, any wall in this holy land, because the territories of Al-Quds is holy, the rocks are holy, all alleys are holy, its olives are holy, its figs are holy, everything in Al-Quds is holy, and nobody has the right to abandon anything which is holy. And so this land and these sanctities must go back to their real possessors completely, and inshallah they'll go back to where they belong. And one of the most important things which we stress upon on this day is to correct an understanding which the Imam Khomeini tried to correct, which is the mistake that Israel controls the world. This is not true. Or some of them say that Israel, whom we fight, controls the United States of America. This is also not true. Of course, we don't deny that the Zionist lobby or certain Zionist lobbies in the world do have an effect, yes. But the real understanding is that Israel is something which is used, an entity which is used. Britain and its allies founded this entity for a certain reason, for certain benefits. And the American administrations inherited this entity. Israel is an entity for certain benefits, which is doing something, performing certain duties in light of the American colonial plan or scheme, which aims to control and practice hegemony on our region and to humiliate it and to rip it apart. And Israel is playing its role, is doing this duty, playing this role in this whole issue. Now, when we have this understanding, We must take into consideration that liberating our sanctities and liberating our territories is not done by begging to the Americans or begging to the Westerners or those who founded Israel or begging to those who use Israel for certain causes, for example, to divide our region once again as part of a new Middle East. This new Middle East project was overthrown by the Lebanese in the July 2006 war. But, of course, we now know that the way to get back our sanctities, the way also to liberate our people in Palestine, is done by a will and also determination and sacrifices of the people of this region. The people of this region can impose their will on this entity which is just there, just has been founded to implement certain or for the sake of serving certain interests. We must also stress on the following on the Al-Quds Day. We must stress and underscore that Israel is not the enemy of the Palestinian people only. Israel is the enemy of Lebanon. Israel is the enemy of the Arab people, is the enemy of the Islamic people. And
we've re-established our connection with Beirut and Hassan Nasrallah. Let's take a listen.
In the camps and are always trying to create divisions between the Lebanese in general. And it's the responsibility of Lebanon to take care, to, of course, give humanitarian assistance to the Palestinians who are living in Palestinian camps in Lebanon. These Palestinian camps in Lebanon are living under difficult circumstances, and no human being can imagine to live in such conditions whereby there are people living in this way, in this very, very poor conditions. The Palestinian factions, of course, in Palestine, they have decided to always stay away from any problems, from any internal conflicts and divisions. This is for the interest of the Palestinians and for the interest of the Lebanese. Now, concerning the Lebanese, my dear brothers and sisters, what we always look forward to in Lebanon, what we always strive to do in Lebanon, and this is a truth, I'll tell you, and I say this in the speeches, in the private sessions, and also in the public speeches, I repeat, what we hope to achieve is for our country, for our nation to be strong, to be capable, to be peaceful, to be safe. This is what we hope for. Now, we always tell our brothers and sisters inside Lebanon, and just a few days ago, we met with the families of the martyrs. We do not want to control Lebanon. We do not want to grab power in Lebanon. We believe that the interests of Lebanon and our interests in Lebanon, in all circumstances, our interest is that we stand shoulder to shoulder and we live in coexistence and to put efforts to struggle with each other, shoulder by shoulder, to face the challenges together. Of course, if anyone abandons the challenging of the Israeli assaults, for example, this does not mean that we will, but what we hope to do is to be together, to stand side by side in all situations, in the good and the bad, in all issues. This is what we hope for. This is what we look forward to. Now, based upon this principle, we made resistance and we fought against the enemy of Lebanon. We fought against our enemy and we are continuing to fight. And based upon these principles, we went to the national dialogue. We went to the national dialogue table, and we will go to the national dialogue table. The reason behind this is that we want to have a unified Lebanon, to really build the strength of Lebanon. This is what we hope to do. This is what we hope to achieve. Today, after the news we heard on some media outlets about Israel, we heard some news about Israel. Israel, of course, said it was against America giving the Lebanese army certain weapons.
يمكن أن نبني جيشا وطنيا قويا قادرا على الدفاع عن أرض لبنان وعن سيادة لبنان وعن شعب لبنان بهذه الطريقة. هل يجوز أن ينتظر؟ ولا أقول أن أحدا ينتظر، ولكن عم بحكي بالمطلق. هل يجوز أن ننتظر إذنا من أمريكا ومن إسرائيل لنسلح جيشنا الوطني ونجهزه بما يمكنه من القيام
بمسؤولياته؟ In the resistance, of course, put them in a corner, because the resistance does not call for anyone to give it permission to get weapons. The resistance, of course, behaves by itself without taking permission from anyone, from any friend or from any enemy. The resistance, of course, also does not announce what it has of weapons, because this is part of its strength. And the resistance is not afraid of the anger, of the reaction of anyone when it performs its national duty. When the resistance is ready to fight, it does not take into consideration anybody's reaction. We need a courageous decision on the national level. The decision must be as follows. We in Lebanon want to arm our Lebanese army, our Lebanese national army, in a way whereby this army can defend the sovereignty of Lebanon and defend all the territories of Lebanon. And we do not need permission from anyone. And we can put together a ministerial committee, a ministerial committee which will get the appropriate financial resources and look for the way to get these weapons. It is legitimate, it is legal that our country buy weapons for its army, even from the black market, just like the resistance does. If we want to wait for Condoleezza Rice to give us these weapons or to give us permission, all what we'll get is a few trucks, a few cars, a few old tanks. But what will really enable our army to face Israeli assaults, we won't get anything, any of these capabilities from America in any day. My dear brothers and sisters, national strength, national capabilities are not built with outside permission, permission from foreign countries. We build our strength by a national determination, national will. Now, based upon this rule as well, based upon what was just said, we want a strong, safe and capable country. We also add, and we always actually expressed that we were very cautious. We always wanted and intended to have a country whereby people would coexist, whereby we would have civil peace. And so for this reason, I'd like to tell some of those who write articles in the newspapers, don't look for problems, don't search for problems in the reconciliation meetings which we're holding. We don't have any problems in our rules of engagement or in our rules of contact with other groups. Now, our policy is not to cancel out any group in Lebanon. We always spoke about national unity, and when we held the strike, it was for the sake of national unity. We always called for dialogue, we always called for meeting and holding dialogue, holding discussions. Even in the July 2006 war, when I stood in the ceremony of victory, I told them at that time, come and let's stand side by side and build Lebanon together and protect Lebanon together. This was what I said on the 22nd of August 2006, after the July 2006 war. Now, when they look at the handshakes, when they look at people standing shoulder by shoulder in an effort to bring about reconciliation, some might consider that this is in agreement with their goals and with their hopes. And based upon this principle, these principles, we went and held the reconciliation meetings. Reconciliation is not a decision made unilaterally, and it cannot be made unilaterally by one group. It's made by two groups. And when both groups had the chance to make decision, we began to see the reconciliation meetings one by one. We in the reconciliation, we are serious and we always want to have reconciliation. We are there, we are ready to take any steps which could promote civil peace in the country, which could benefit the country. Details are not important. We are ready to do anything, everything we can to relieve the people in Lebanon, to relieve all those in all territories of Lebanon, especially those in our capital, Beirut. Of course, when we speak about reconciliation, we don't speak about political alliances or new political alliances. They say this and we say this as well, the other side, and we do. We are standing with our political allies who we always have a good relation with, who we always are committed to. We are committed to the alliance with these allies. They, on the other hand, they are with their allies. So reconciliation with March 14 groups does not mean we are making alliances with these groups. The reconciliation meetings with March 14 groups is to bring about a good, positive atmosphere in order to stop the tension in the country and in order to stop the sectarian strife, to stop any sectarian divisions. We are holding these meetings to bring about an atmosphere which could allow us to address all difficult issues in Lebanon and also to head to peaceful competition in the upcoming elections. Groups or parties competing with each other peacefully in these elections. Of course, we are holding reconciliation, and we believe that the judge between us will be the next parliamentary elections. We always look forward to these elections, and what we said from the very beginning in downtown Beirut, we said, let's go to the people, let's go to a consensus. And some of them responded and said, no, this makes no sense. We cannot do this in Lebanon. We said, let's go to parliamentary elections, early parliamentary elections. We always say, let's resort to the people, let the people decide, because we respect the will of the people. We respect the choice of the people. We are all concerned once again, the voice cutting.
لمنافسة سياسية سليمة وشريفة تؤدي إلى انتخابات نيابية تنتج سلطة جديدة وأنا لا أريد أن أستبق الأمور ولكنني لست أنا وإخواني ممن نبدل في الوعد أو في الالتزام أنا أقول لكم من الآن إذا حصل فريق المعارضة على الأغلبية في المجلس النيابي إن شاء الله فحزب الله سيدعو ويؤكد دعمه والتزامه بالدعوة إلى حكومة وحدة وطنية يحضر فيها الفريق الآخر ليكون شريكا في إدارة البلد. نحن لا نتطلع إلى انتخابات نيابية تنتج أكثرية جديدة.
We must learn from the previous events which happened in history. We must learn from what happened. We must learn our lessons, my dear Lebanese people. We must learn the lesson. This Lebanon cannot be controlled by a minority or a majority. Sometimes people come and speak about Lebanon, but we must say and stress Lebanon is a unique country. Even if we are the majority, we must stress on this. Now, if Lebanon is a unique country, when we take this into consideration, we must say when we want to manage this country and address all the issues in this country, addressing all these issues cannot be done if we think minority and majority. We must think about the diversity and the coordination and in national completion, coordination between all different Lebanese groups, all different Lebanese diversities, diverse groups. This is how we can understand the structure and formation of the country. Now, there are many good ideas which have been proposed. We all believe in this. We all support this. We are calling for achieving this, but in the upcoming period, this is the way. This is the real situation in the country. This is the way our country was built. Unfortunately, this country, instead of developing, has gone backwards. Now, should we go to other alternatives and deepen the current divisions? We say, let's come, let's act in the appropriate manner, let's act according to reality. We, of course, let's go to the street, to the people, let the parliament, let's resort to elections, let the people make the choice. But I, once again, I repeat, Lebanon is a unique country, and the crisis in this country cannot be solved very easily. But, of course, the prop and facing the challenges cannot be done if we think unilaterally, if each group thinks only for its own interests. Today, my dear brothers and sisters, I say that all the reconciliation meetings which were held and the reconciliation meetings which will be held in the next few days and nights, all these reconciliation meetings will promote a positive atmosphere, and maybe the current government could get the chance, and maybe the politicians could get the chance to, of course, benefit from a positive atmosphere, so we'll be able to begin addressing other issues, especially because we have the educational year, a year of studies, and we have winter, the winter season, which is coming up, and of course many people suffer, as you do know. Today there is no more poor people and rich people. Poorness and poverty in general has spread. More than two-thirds of the Lebanese people suffer from poverty. So how do we, of course, challenge? How do we try and face the social and economic problems? Of course, many of the Lebanese families don't have the least possible quality of life. Let the country just breathe a little. Let's relieve the country from this rhetoric, this tense rhetoric. Of course, we do have a national table of dialogue. We have a national unity government. We have a parliament now, which is working, which is effective. Let's take the chance in this country. Let's rest a little. Let's reevaluate once again. And let's begin to put our efforts in order to bring about a better quality of life for many of the Lebanese. The political future and the situation is now on the right track. This happened after, or this will happen after the electoral law is decided. In a few days, the electoral law will be decided, hopefully, and the elections should be held next spring as scheduled. Actually, when we speak about the Lebanese, about the situation in Lebanon, we always focus on the south, on our borders with Palestine, with our lovely Palestinian neighbor, the Palestinians. Of course, we smell the scent of Palestine in South Lebanon. We smell the scent of Al-Quds, and we assure on Al-Quds Day that we in the resistance, we and also our colleagues in the Lebanese army, we of course are always vigilant towards any challenge in South Lebanon, whatever be the challenges inside, whatever be the difficulties inside Lebanon. Today we heard from some Israeli analysts, this is a quote from the Joint Chief of Staff of the Israeli Army. He said the following: he does not expect a war with Lebanon this year or next year. Okay, that's good. That's okay. But what's the reason? What's the secret? Just a few days ago, all of them, Barak and Mufaz and Olmert and Livni, etc., etc., all of them threatened and cursed and always made these threats against Lebanon. Barak, just a few days ago, amended also his quote. Let me also, because he amended, let me amend as well. Now, anyway, anyway, I always said that the project, that our plan is not war, the plan of resistance is not war. In Palestine, we were very clear concerning Palestine. Our duty is to support the resistance of the Palestinian people. Today, the Palestinians have enough fighting power, have enough resources, have enough standards, national standards and religious standards and moral standards. The Palestinians in general have the qualifications to liberate their territories, but we have the duty to give them the support in many different forms. The issue of resistance is not classical warfare, but when Lebanon is assaulted or attacked, the resistance will not stand with its arms crossed. What Ehud Barak changed in his speech, after he spoke about five Israeli military contingencies, just a few days ago he changed the number to 8 military contingencies. It seems that he studied this and he said that 5 maybe is not enough. He maybe took into consideration the geography of the Amil Mountain and that 5 military contingencies is not enough. Now he's speaking about 8 military contingencies. Now, not me, but me and you, we'd like to tell Mr. Barak that your 8 military contingencies will be destroyed in our mountains and hills and valleys and in our houses and will be defeated by our fighters. I'd like to tell Mr. Barak on the contrary. I'd like to tell Mr. Barak on the contrary. If you refer to 8 military contingencies, this is better than 5 military contingencies. In military warfare, when we want to speak about military vis-a-vis geography, because I'm one of those people who do understand the following. If Israel makes this mistake, I said it in previous speeches, this will lead to the end of the Israeli entity, because imagine 5 military contingencies, 5 Israeli military contingencies being destroyed. What will happen? There won't be any more morales. Of course, they'll lose all confidence in their army, the Israelis. Our Palestinian brothers in Gaza and the West Bank will be able to decide, will be able to defeat Israel. Now, if Barak asked me, would you like 5 military contingencies or 8 military contingencies, I'd answer 9, bring 9 military contingencies. He knows, and you also do know, the enemy knows, the friend knows, that what Barak is saying. We always listen to this, and what I'm saying is not just talk, it's promise. These promises which began ever since the Arabs began to achieve victory against Israel. And at the time where people were preoccupied with the internal political crisis and in the internal conflicts, in Hezbollah, there were men, a lot of fighters, numbers of fighters who did not sleep in the night ever since the July 2006 war. One of those fighters is the martyr, Ahmad Mughniyeh, peace be upon his soul. Until this day, these fighters are still awake in the nights in order to achieve the promise, in order to make the dream come true. My dear brothers and sisters, in Al-Quds Day, when we have the determination and the will and the ideology, when we have, of course, the will in our soul, we will have the capability. And when we become strong in a world where nobody is respected but the strong, in this way the doors of heaven will be open and our dignity will come back, our honor will come back, our sanctities will come back. This is the way we view Al-Quds. And we in Lebanon, and we in Palestine, and we in the Arab and Islamic world, we feel that we are closer than any time before, closer to Al-Quds, closer to Al-Aqsa Mosque, closer to the church in Al-Quds, and hopefully this generation, this current generation, hopefully we won't die, this current generation will witness the Ummah, the whole nation, going back to Al-Quds, whereby there won't be any Israel, there won't be any Zionists, there won't be any occupation. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And happy anniversary on Al-Quds Day.
Well, there you have it, Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah speaking on Al-Quds Day. Of course, two main topics, Al-Quds Day itself and, of course, Lebanon, national reconciliation, arms, and, of course, a rhetoric from Israel. Just the main points very briefly. We must try and correct an understanding that Israel controls the world or the United States, said Hassan Nasrallah. Although the Zionist lobby does have an influence in the US, Israel is a tool being used, an entity created by Britain and its allies that the US took over. It is a part of a colonial hegemony being used to recreate and restructure the Middle East and the region. Of course, that was the main point, as I mentioned earlier, on Al-Quds Day. Hassan Nasrallah continued to talk about Lebanon. On national dialogue, he said, Lebanon hopes to be strong, peaceful and safe. We do not want to control Lebanon or grab power, he said, talking, of course, about Hezbollah. Our interest is that we stand shoulder to shoulder and face challenges together. We hope to stand side by side in the good and the bad, but Hezbollah will never stand down in the bad times, said Hassan Nasrallah. On national arms, also he touched on, he said, we need a courageous decision on a national level. The Lebanese army needs to arm itself to be able to carry out its national duty. It is legal, for the army to arm itself by any means necessary. We will bring you all of that in our full bulletins that you can catch in about an hour's time, in fact. So please join us then on Press TV.